Jonathan Moore is attorney with the Center for Constitutional Rights. He says the judge, Shira Shindlin, is particularly concerned by supervisors who say they never heard of racial profiling in communities they police.
All these high-ranking supervisors claim they've never heard an allegation of racial profiling, and as if to suggest that this problem, which we're talking about, which we've been talking about for 9 weeks now, going into 9 weeks, is just created by politicians and lawyers and community groups, the media, out of whole cloth. And it's just, it's an insult, really. It's an insult. There's been, you know, years of public protests, years of marches, years of demonstrations, people subjecting themselves to arrest to protest the racial bias that exists in the Stop and Frisk program here in New York City. And to suggest that nobody's ever heard a complaint really does say that their head's in the sand. And I think she looks at that, and when she hears that, she shakes her head and says, basically, I can't believe it, because nobody could believe it. I mean, at least admit there's a problem. Part of the, you know, and you know, the other thing is they do admit it's a problem because they're starting to take steps to correct it. On the eve of trial, they implement a whole new procedure with respect to documenting stops in the memo books and in the 250. So you can't have it both ways. Either there's a problem, you want to fix it, and you want to do it in a collaborative way with the community and with the stakeholders in this issue, or not, you know, and they're trying to do both. And I think the judge will is aware of that and will do what she can to, in a neutral and objective way, impose some real standards on the police department.
And what's the best outcome for you?
Well, the best outcome is that they stop doing this, you know, random suspicionless stops and frisk. The best outcome is that they start respecting communities of color. The best outcome is that you get leadership in the police department that really doesn't put their head in the sand and says, if we have a problem, let's look at it. They won't even look at it. And for, it's been 14 years, really, since we really brought this issue to them in 1999 after Diallo. And for all those 14 years, it's been the same head-in-the-sand approach. So,
another point of interest for the judge was testimony by Inspector Christopher McCormick, who was secretly recorded at roll call by whistleblower and NYPD officer Pedro Serrano. In 2009, McCormick ordered his officers to go out in the community and respond to burglaries in the Bronx by targeting black males between the ages of 14 to 21 years old. That's the physical description of the persons, asked the judge. McCormick said, yes, that's the only description we had. He continued by saying he told the officers to fan out into the communities and observe suspicious behavior in black males between the ages of 14 to 21 years old. Testimony then turned to Commissioner Michael Farrell, NYPD policy expert in charge of strategic initiatives. He testified about how the department didn't think it needed to follow findings in the RAND report, which was an analysis of racial disparities in the New York Police Department. Darius Charney is attorney with the Center for Constitutional Rights.
Well, you know, as we heard, I guess it was the week before last, we heard from Commissioner Phil McGuire. It turns out that the RAND report, which the police department has been relying on for the last 6 years to show in their view that they do not racially profile, was in fact based on erroneous data. But that has not stopped the police department from continuing to wave the RAND report as, in their view, proof that they do not have a racial profiling problem. But I think, as people who've been coming to this trial know, the RAND report actually does point out some pretty serious areas of racial bias that they recommended the police department should look into. And as we heard Commissioner Farrell testify, the police department chose not to do it because in their view, they didn't think it was that serious of a problem. But RAND itself, which the police department says they were relying on to provide them an independent perspective, recommended that they look into it, and they rejected that recommendation.
But yet there were these six areas where RAND said there needs to be improvement, yet this Inspector Farrell didn't seem to think it was necessary, although he agreed that there were problem areas.
Exactly. I mean, the RAND report identified several boroughs that had what it called significant racial disparities in stop outcomes. In other words, differences in who was being frisked or searched or having force used against them depending on their race, which, you know, again, pedestrians of color were more likely to be frisked, more likely to be searched, more likely to have force used against them in stops, particularly in the boroughs, I think, of Staten Island and Brooklyn South. And the police department's response was, we don't think that this is actually as big of a problem as you say it is. So, again, they hire Rand for an independent perspective and then disregard Rand's recommendation.
The trial will conclude on Monday, May 20th, with summations. Plaintiffs in the case want better training of police officers, better forms to document stop and frisks, and a court-appointed monitor with independent oversight. And in a related matter, both sides claimed victory today after a New York appeals court approved court oversight of hiring practices at the city's fire department to ensure fair hiring. The appeals court said a trial must be conducted on the issue of whether or not the city had intentionally discriminated in hiring so few blacks and Hispanics. The appeals court ordered a new bench trial before a different Brooklyn judge to determine that issue. Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York.